Stop. Before you consider taking drastic measures to lose weight, like GLP-1 injections, consider Golo. Golo's release is easier than injections and fad diets. No need to jump through insurance hoops. It's simple. You take one release supplement with each meal. Golo's release supplement contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals that target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. With Golo, you follow the Golo for Life plan, where you'll safely and effectively control sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, allowing you to feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. With Golo, you get an effective and affordable weight loss solution that's clinically proven. Because controlling glucose, maintaining healthy insulin levels, and saying goodbye to starvation dieting is the secret to lasting weight loss and wellness. Visit Golo.com to get started today. That's Golo.com. Go to Golo.com to join the 5 million people who have switched to Golo as a better way to lose weight. Visit Golo.com today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Heather Shaw is Kidding. It's me, Heather Shaw. Happy Wednesday. How you doing? This is an audio-only episode of the podcast. If you're on YouTube right now saying, where is that dumb bitch's face? Sorry. Just Google Jim Carrey. You'll live. I'm in the middle of a move, so I am... things are in a mess. You know, I haven't set up my new area. I'm not even going to call it a studio. It's just an area where I can film. I haven't really set up a space in the new house. So we're going audio only on this episode. You can't see my dumb mug. Sorry. We'll see if I put this up on YouTube somehow. I'll put it behind a picture of, I don't know, Gypsy Rose. No, I'm going to leave her alone this episode. I've done enough on Gypsy. Let's let her go. I mean, apparently she's supposed to be, I don't know. I get on TikTok and they just say these things. You know, people get on TikTok and like, Gypsy Rose is going back to prison. And then they have no proof for that. I don't think she's going to go back. I hope she doesn't go back. That'd be insane. She's done her time for a crime that was fine. If I was her lawyer, that's all I would say. Your Honor, she's done her time for a crime that was just fine. Huh? You'd kill your mother too. Boy, oh boy, right up top, I gotta say, loving Louisville, moved here, love it here, it's great. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. You pronounce it as if you're having a stroke. It's not Louisville, it's not Louisville, it's Louisville. Just pretend you're stroking out when you say it. Yeah, I'm going on down to Louisville. I love it. I've had some good vegan food so far. Shout out to Cosmic Bird. I've had some good coffee. I'm in an area where you can just walk and get coffee. It's so nice. Nothing compares to Lucy Brown coffee. I miss that bitch. I miss that coffee over there in Lexington, Kentucky. But I'm on their subscription service, so I get their coffee sent straight to my door now. Huh? It's great. But I like Louisville. I love it so much. I just booked a... And the move was fine. The move was fine. We made it work. You know, moving's a pain. It's a dick. It's the worst. It's a pain in the dick. I don't even have a dick and I felt the pain. You know, but we're here. We made it. We're unpacking. Unpacking is the worst. Packing is fine for me. It's unpacking. It's getting everything out of the box. It's like, where does this go now? This needs a home? Oh, God. You know, that's why I don't have a studio set up yet. And by studio, you know, I mean my phone on a tripod. I just don't have a space yet. I don't know what I want to do for the background. I'm going to be in my office, I think. This office is surrounded by shelves. So it would just look creepy if I tried to record right now in front of empty shelves. It would look like a kidnapping video. It would just be me talking about Britney Spears' biopic. And also you're like, does this bitch have a gun to her head? Is there a ransom involved? Because I'm not paying. She can just die. Real quick on the live show update, Phoenix, Arizona. I just booked. My booking agent reached out last night and said, hey, can you do next weekend? So yeah, I'm going to Phoenix next weekend. I will say yes to any gig. I don't care. Send me anywhere. I am going to Phoenix House of Comedy next weekend for a full weekend of shows. 5 shows, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you are in Phoenix and you want to get out from the heat, come to the House of Comedy. come see me. I'm hoping we can get people to show up. I've got a week to promote these shows. So Phoenix, please show up, huh? I love you so much. I'm going to be sweating. It's not good when I'm sweating. You know, that's how hot Phoenix is. So I'm excited to be back out there. I've got a great feature. His name is Tony Tripoli. He is amazing. He's a legend. I met him when he opened for me when I was out in Phoenix earlier in July. I was out there. But Tony was the head writer on Joan Rivers Fashion Police. He's got stories. He's got Joan Rivers' ashes. He's got some of her ashes. He's like legit. I love him so much. He's amazing. So he's going to be on the shows with me as well. I'm excited. Portland was great. Eugene was great. Where else? Seattle. All the shows were amazing. I was a little concerned going out to the Pacific Northwest. You know, sometimes it's an echo chamber of white guilt, as I call it. It is just white guilt city out there. Everybody is just saying, so sorry to every black person they see. But I get it. I'd rather be in a progressive area than in an area that wants to lynch me for being gay. I don't think any place is like that anymore now. I don't know. I haven't been deep in Alabama, but I really don't think. Maybe. I could be wrong. But Portland and Eugene in Seattle, all the shows are great. Thank you so much to everybody that came out to those shows. I met some Patreon members over there. They're so nice. I love meeting Patreon members. It's so nice to put a face to the members over there. I was sweating a lot. The Pacific Northwest is not prepared for the kind of summers we are now going to get, starting like probably 5 years ago and going into the future. I was sweating in every establishment because the AC was just not kicking. The AC was not on. A lot of places in the Pacific Northwest don't even really have AC units because they're not used to having brutal summers. It's very much like England. It's like Europe. For the Pacific Northwest is very much like Europe, where like people in London are like, it's 80 degrees, I'm sweating my balls off, because they don't have AC units. They never had to install AC units in their homes. And now, due to global warming, whether you think it's real or not, it's real, buddy, because I mean, these places in like Portland, I was sweating everywhere. No one had really good working AC. Very few places were prepared to like have to cool down a building when it's 90 degrees out. I mean, it was hot. So that's really concerning. Places are going to have to get AC, or they're just going to have to sweat. And everybody in Portland already doesn't wear deodorant. So it's not great. Everyone's got native deodorant, or they're just rubbing crystals under their armpits and saying, this will help. And it's 95 degrees out. And then you go into a building and it's 85 degrees inside the building. I mean, it's not good when I'm sweating. That's when you know it's bad, because I'm freezing all the time. Anemia. Anemia. But it's not good when I'm sweating, because then I'm like, oh my God, the regular people, anybody over 120 in weight must be miserable right now. But I had a great time over there in the White Guilt City Echo Chamber. I mean, I love those places. They're beautiful. The crowds were great. I was, you know, a little concerned. Last time I was in Seattle, I said the word homeless on stage. And right after I said it, a woman in the audience just went, it's unhoused. We say unhoused. I'm like, you know, that's just to make you feel better. They don't give a fuck. I promise you, homeless people are not offended when you call them homeless. They're offended because they're hungry. They're offended that no one gives a shit about them. But you call them what you want to make yourself feel better. Sure, Mary. But the Seattle crowds this last week were amazing. Everybody was there to have fun. I got to, you know, make fun of their city. They enjoyed that. They get it. They have a crazy amount of BLM signs compared to black people walking around. And I called them out on that. I said, tone it down with the BLM signs. You know, who are you talking to? Who the fuck are you talking to? The other white people? Like, it's enough. And I'm so obviously pro BLM, but it's just like, guys, everyone here is white. Who are you talking to? It's a little schizophrenic. It's a little schizophrenic. It's like, we get it. You know what I mean? Can you name a black friend of yours? No? Okay, then take down the BLM sign. But I had fun. I'll be back out there. It's a gorgeous area. I always love it. But Phoenix, hope to see you out to the shows. We got a week to promote. Tell everybody you know. Anybody in Arizona, tell them. Tell them, hey, do you like gays? All right, let's get into the pod, baby. Let's do it. I am so excited. Tim Walz announced as the VP pick. I think that was the greatest pick she could have made. I was really worried that she was going to go with Shapiro. I don't think he has a good track record, especially with the youth. Didn't he call the college students protesting protesting for Palestine and against Israel? Didn't he call them Klan members? Yeah, not a good look. Not a good look. You want to get Gen Z out. You want to get out to vote. And I don't think you can get a guy who's kind of like super pro-Israel. It's just, you know, it's hard. I don't think that would have... I mean, he was in a swing state, but it was a gamble, and I'm glad she didn't take it. She picked Tim Walz, America's dad. I mean, that guy is fun. He's like the fun neighbor on a sitcom in the 90s. He is Wilson. He seems fun. I like Tim Walz. Everything I read about him, I'm like, I like this guy. Please don't turn out to be weird. You know, at the end of the day, these are all politicians. You can't get too close to them. You can admire them from afar, but don't get too close. Don't get too involved. I've already seen merch for Harris Walz, and it's kind of like on that, it's like a camo hat with like pink font or orange font, kind of like, I know Chapel Rowan did kind of merch like that with her Midwestern princess bullshit. I don't know what it's called. I'm not that gay. Sorry. But great merch. And then I think Boy Genius also had merch like this where it's like camo background and then like cool fonts. Great. But, you know, I'm certainly not somebody that's going to be buying politician merch. Sorry. What song do they play again? No thanks. You know, at the end of the day, they're politicians. You can get excited about voting for who you think is the best option. You know, people who support Trump certainly are excited. Let the people who support Trump buy the merch. Let them buy the Jesus candles with Trump's face on it. I mean, you know, the Harris Walz merch is cool. It's definitely like, it's cooler than, you know, Trump in the middle of the Last Supper or whatever the fuck they're selling. I don't know what they're selling. I'm just worried that like people, you know, do what you want, but don't get into political merch. Don't be that. You can't make fun of people walking around with red MAGA hats and then turn around and buy a camo hat that says Harris Walz. I mean, do what you want. Hey, it's your body. It's your choice. It would be fun if they came out with some like great merch. What if they just started selling packs of prep? Harris Walz prep. Poppers would be great. Take a little sniffy out of the Harris Walz poppers. Come on. I love it. But I love Tim Walz. I think he's a great pick. He is what I lovingly refer to as America's dad. You know, he's the dad. You know, if you didn't have a great dad, maybe you had a friend who had a great dad. You'd go over the house. He'd forget your name, but he'd always, you know, offer to make you pancakes in the morning in a non-creepy way. Always had his clothes on. It wasn't like he was walking around with his boxers itching his asshole. Just a good guy. He is America's dad. He even has a DUI. That's how much of America's dad he is. We all know some friend of ours or maybe your own dad that has a DUI. That's relatable. He's as cool as Justin Timberlake now. Tim Walz, he's just like Justin Timberlake. You know? Come on, that's fun. I mean, Tim's DUI is from 30 years ago. It's from 1995. I think we can forgive the guy. He didn't kill anybody. You know, I say with DUIs, you get one. You all get one as long as you're not hurting somebody. Or taking out an entire family or a baseball team at a, you know, Little League game. As long as you're not doing that, you all get one DUI. It's never great to drink and drive, but, you know, it's a mistake. We all get one. And then, you know, after one DUI, if you get two, then, you know, now you're getting into, like, dirtbag territory. But, yes, he did get a DUI 30 years ago, 1995. So what? You know... Do you want to be judged on something that happened 30 years ago? Are you even old enough to be judged on something that happened 30 years ago? I certainly don't. I did a lot of shit when I was six. I don't want you to bring it up. Maybe I was a six-year-old walking around in blackface. What's it to you? I did get a DUI when I was six. I don't want to talk about it. I was in my Power Wheels, and I just had, I don't know, it was a great day. I was outside all day. You know, we didn't have internet. I was downing the Capri Suns like nobody's business. I mean, I was stabbing those things like I was Gypsy and they were my mother. You know, I was just putting those straws through them and just downing those Capri Pris. And, you know, I lost my judgment. I didn't have good judgment at the time. I hopped in my Power Wheels and I just took the fuck off, you know. And I remember getting pulled over and I said, what am I, Tim Walz? How did I even know about him? I was six and it was 1995. It's fine. It's fine. I love Tim Walz. I think it's a great pick. He is the Forrest Gump of politicians. He's got such a storied career, such a storied life. He was in the army for 25 years. I don't know if he was in the army. I don't want to be wrong. Let's look this up. Tim Walz, was he an army officer? He was enlisted in the Army National Guard in Nebraska in 81 and retired honorably in 2005 as the top enlisted soldier for 1st Battalion, 125th Field Artillery Regiment in the National Guard. Okay, so he was National Guard, which is like, you know, the National Guard like goes out when a tornado comes by, the National Guard goes out and just picks up litter. I don't know. Either way, 25 years in that is good. Better than I've ever done for the military. I would do nothing. I would absolutely do nothing. If I was in the National Guard, I would send tornadoes to America. Okay. He did that for 25 years. He was then a school teacher, a high school teacher, which he definitely has like high school teacher vibes in a good way. He's like the cool teacher who's like, you know, he's stern with you, but he's fun. He just wants the best for you. You know what I mean? And you just can't shut the fuck up in class. And he's going to need you to shut the fuck up in class. You know what I mean? He just wants the best for you. You know, he doesn't want to have to talk to your parents. The only time he wants to see your parents is in the grocery store to tell your parents that you're doing great. And he doesn't want to have to call them at home. You know, he's busy. You know, we all make mistakes. Son, I got a DUI in 1995. I know what it's like to not be your best, but I just want the best for you. Now, would you shut the fuck up and let me teach social studies? He did that. And then he was a high school football coach, a state champion high school football coach. I believe was it in Minnesota? Seems like he started his life in Minnesota. Let's see. Tim Walz state champion football. Let's see where it was. I'm assuming it was Minnesota. What kind of football coach was Tim Walz? A good one. He coached the linebackers, then transitioned. Yeah, but was this in Minnesota? Somebody tell me quickly. Yeah, Minnesota High School. Okay. So he won a state champion, which kind of lines up. You get your high school teacher, you start, you know, coaching football because you just don't want to go home ever, I'm assuming. I don't know. And then he was like, all right, I've had enough of this. I'm going to run for Congress. He became a congressman, a two-term congressman. I think he's in his second term now. And then now he's just a VP pick. Now he's just a VP nominee to get in the White House with Kamala Harris. That's pretty impressive. That is the Forrest Gump. It's like a Forrest Gump light. You know, it's like Forrest Gump if he just wasn't a little bit slow and didn't fall in love with a dumb bitch, Jenny. Selfish bitch. But yeah, it's I don't know if this is the natural trajectory for white males in Minnesota. Is that just what they do? They're like, yeah, you do the army and then you go teach high school and then you become a football coach and hopefully win state. And then, you know, you go into politics. I don't know if that's normal for Minnesota, but for me, that seems like a life lived. That's some experience. What have you done? You know what I mean? That's a lot. He's got energy, this guy. He's 60 years old. You know, he's coaching kids. He's getting a DUI. He's got a lot going on. I don't know what the Republicans are going to do. I mean, they're grasping at straws at this point. You know, J.D. Vance was real fun to make fun of and a bit easy. You know, he's got that weird fucked up book where he's just like, poor people are crazy bad. You know, if you just pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you dumb fucking hillbilly Appalachian monkey, maybe you'd make something of your life. Hillbilly elegy. You know, there's that whole, couch fucking excerpt. I don't really fucking know. Look, I didn't read the book. I'm illiterate. But J.D. Vance is easy to make fun of. He's not very, he's not a good public speaker. He's a tech guy. Tech guys are weird. You know, even his own party is like, you know, obviously racist towards the fact that J.D. Vance married and had kids with an Indian woman. I remember seeing a tweet that somebody was like, wait a minute, he's married to a brown? Like, you know, that's his party. Your own party is like wildly racist in your face, and you just have to smile and nod and lick the asshole of Donald Trump. It's a rough gig. I don't think I'd want that gig. I don't think any, this is how much politicians just crave power and greed and they crave, power. That's, they just want, they're like, yeah, fuck it, I'll run with Donald Trump, which is like the worst thing ever. Donald Trump burns every person that gets close to him. Like, that's why he doesn't have the same VP, you know, he just burns people. So it's like, I'm surprised he hasn't thrown J.D. Vance under the bus yet, to be honest, or the couch. But the Republicans are going to have to grasp at straws here to, Waltz is likable. And, you know, he's got a lot of traits that the Republicans are kind of like, he's an NRA member. Tim Waltz is part of the NRA. He hunts. You know, he's a Midwestern guy. He does the Midwestern things. He gets DUIs. I mean, the Republicans love that shit. They'd only like Tim Waltz more if he would just touch little kids, and I don't think he's going to. If he would just pull a Matt Gaetz, they'd be like singing his praises. But yeah, there's a story of Tim Waltz being an NRA member, and then and kind of very pro gun and like, you know, no regulations. And then after the Parkland shooting, his young daughter, I think she was like a teen or tween at the time, was like appealing to him, like, Dad, something's got to change. This is horrific. And so he took all the NRA money that the NRA had sent him because he was being funded by the NRA as a politician. And he donated all of that money. And he called for stronger restrictions on guns, more gun regulations. Things had to change. No more churches and schools getting shot up kind of thing. And did that whole thing. And the NRA, I guess the NRA rates their members every year, which, what is this? What kind of fucking, I didn't know this. You're just on like a system of rating by the NRA. The NRA can just be like, yeah, you're hot. No, you're not fucking hot. He used to get A's. I guess the NRA would give him A's every year. Like, who the fuck cares? Well, you're getting judged by guns? What? And now he gets straight F's. And he doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I don't care. I do not give a fuck. But yeah, I mean, he's for it. Let me read this, what he talks about with guns, because it's pretty reasonable. So yeah, shortly after a teenage gunman opened fire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida in 2018, killing 17, Jesus, Walz began to support tighter firearm restrictions as he ran his first campaign for governor in the same year. He was inspired by his then 17-year-old daughter urging him to do more to prevent gun violence. So he listens to the youth. Love that. He listens to his own daughter. How many dads out there, like, you know, I would tell my dad things and he'd be like, you're a fucking idiot. First of all, you're a woman. My dad's great. My dad's great, but, you know, there are a lot of guys out there that aren't going to listen to their kids. I don't think my dad wasn't listening to me because I was a woman or girl. I was a kid. You know, he's like, you have no life experience. But it's nice that Tim Waltz listened to his daughter on this. And then he said that he donated all the money he had ever gotten from the NRA to charity, made a public push for background checks for people purchasing firearms. This isn't crazy, like, radical things. These aren't crazy radical ideas. Hey, can we get a background check for purchasing a firearm? Like, I don't know why this is so radical to some people. He also spoke out in favor of a ban on assault weapons. Yeah, again, not that radical. He said, quote, I know basic gun safety isn't a threat to my rights. It's about keeping our kids safe. I had an A rating from the NRA. Now I get straight F's and I sleep just fine. Yeah, it's just about regulations. He goes on to say, I know guns as well as anyone else in this room. I know that there's no place for weapons of war in our schools or in our churches or in our banks or anywhere else. People are just trying to live their fucking lives. He didn't say the fucking part. I added that for a little panache. Yeah, so he's a smart gun owner. He owns guns. He hunts. You know, it's hard to combat that as a Republican because you can't just be like, he's a fucking pussy who won't hold a fucking gun. Like, they're going to, you know, they're going to have to just come out and be like, the NRA thinks this guy's a fucking queer, so he must be. Ugh, yuck. I mean, I don't know. They're calling him Tampon Tim now. They're, you know, this is what they do. Republicans just, they're not funny. Republicans need funny. They need to be clever. They need to be witty. They're not. They're just like, they're like the fifth grade bully who's like, everybody's just kind of like, okay, whatever, weirdo. Like, you're not really a bully. You're just kind of annoying and a nuisance. And like, your quips aren't funny. You need writers. The Republicans need to like pay some fucking liberal writers and just have them come over to their side, get some roast jokes going, get something going, because they're calling him Tampon Tim because Tim Walz signed a thing where like all schools should provide and will provide free sanitary products to the kids in the schools. Tampons, maxi pads. Like, the horror. The horror. We want our kids free bleeding. Don't you dare. Why are you thinking about my daughter's vagina like that, you fucking creep? Let her free bleed. I want to know that she's not pregnant. Like, the horror of providing kids free meals, free lunches, free. I mean, these are the things that Tim Walz has done for kids. This is his attempt at family values. Providing free meals. Free lunches, free breakfasts, I believe. Breakfasts as well to kids in school, so no kid has to go hungry. What an asshole. What a fucking asshole. And then, you know, Republicans would be like, well, why should my taxpayer dollar go to fund some fucking dumb, broke kid who wants to eat? It's like, bro, your taxpayer dollars are funding war. You're gonna be okay. Let the six-year-old eat some fucking food. Huh? It's just a PB&J. You're going to be okay. And then he provides, you know, tampons to kids or to teens or, you know, whoever the fuck needs them. I don't care. If a boy wants to take a tampon and just pretend he's injecting heroin into his arm like I used to do when I first got tampons, fine with me. Go for it. I used to do it all the time. Just take the applicator and put it like towards, you know, the crease in my elbow and just be like, oh, I'm not a yet. And then I actually got my period finally when I was 23. And then I was like, I stick this up. I put my tampon in my butt for the first couple years. And that was, while pleasant, it was also unpleasant because I was just bleeding everywhere and plugging myself up. Couldn't shit for weeks. Okay. That's all true. Do not debate me on that. That is all true. Everything I've said about what I've done with tampons is 100% true. I used to put them in my butt. Clip that. The debates are going to be interesting. I really hope J.D. Vance debates Tim Walz. You know, Tim Walz is very well spoken. He already kind of lightly roasted him. He made a couch joke at his first, whatever they're fucking called. I hate the term rally. I really do, because now I just associate it with, like, you know, Trump rallies where everybody's just teethless and gumming and spewing on each other. I guess event, we'll say, the Philadelphia event where he came out as the VP pick and gave a speech. And it was great. Very well spoken. Kind of just was, you know, America's dad. Just talking, being charming, not being offensive, kind of lightly roasting J.D. Vance, you know, said, I hope that guy debates me. You know, I'll take him down if he can get off the couch. You know, I mean, it's just fun stuff that you'd hear your dad say if he was, you know, roasting a neighbor. If you don't have a dad, I'm so sorry. This is so triggering. But, you know, now you do. Tim Walz. Tim Walz can be your dad. He's going to give you a free tampon. I mean, that's the thing. Tim Walz is going to come over. He's going to, you know, show you that the safety is on his gun and they're locked up and don't you dare fucking think about taking them. And then he's going to hand you a free tampon and say, are you hungry? Not for the tampon, but I'm very excited. It's a great pick. It's a great pick. I really hope that the debates happen. I don't know what J.D. Vance will do, because Trump's not going to debate Kamala, which doesn't look good for him. You know, it makes him look a little weak, a little crybabyish, a little like, if it's not my way, it's no way. And I think you can't do that. But, you know, his followers don't care. He could do anything. You know, he could drop out of the race and they will still believe he's president until the day they die. I mean, that's the brilliance of having a cult. We'll get into Kehlani later. Is that how you say her name? Kehlani? She sounds like a liquor, like a rum. Can I get a shot of Kehlani? Do people do shots of rum? Is anybody doing that? That's not a thing, right? It's interesting. I've never thought about that. People order shots of tequila, shots of vodka, but is anybody going up and being like, can I get a shot of Malibu? Is that happening? I guess not. I'm so out of the drinking game, you know? But I don't think I remember anybody being like, yeah, give me a shot of rum. Like, what is that about? I learned some interesting news about Doug Emhoff, who is, I think he's Kamala's husband. They're married. I don't know, guys. Listen to this, because doesn't this seem a little gay to you? And I'm not trying to start shit, and this is all like, I'm not implying anything. Maybe I'm inferring. I don't know the difference, so I can just say that. This is all just kind of alleged talk. But listen to this, and then you decide what sounds about this. Okay, second gentleman, which is what they call the VP's partner is called second, either lady or gentleman. Okay, so that's kind of gay. Second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, shocked a couple of thousand gay and queer black men backing his wife for president when he made a guest appearance on an organizing call Thursday evening. That's fine, whatever, that's ally shit. But listen to this. On the call, Emhoff told a story of being caught by surprise by Biden's announcement that he was dropping out of the presidential race. When he said he happened to be in Los Angeles with a gay couple, friends of his, fine, this is ally, after taking a one-hour soul cycle class with them in WeHo, West Hollywood. Either this man is the biggest gay ally I have ever known, or this man has a Grindr account, okay? I mean, that's suspicious. Now, I'm not saying you can't be an ally or anything, and that's, like, cool as fuck. I'm sure that's the case. I'm not trying to say, but I really hope that this man can keep, if he is gay, allegedly, if Emhoff is gay and down low or whatever, I hope he can keep a lid on it. We don't need any scandal. We don't need to give the Republicans any fire. Not that the Republicans have any gaydar anyways. Everybody in their party is gay and they don't, you know, they're like, he's a what? It's just interesting that he was at a soul cycle class with his gay friends. Just on paper, it's funny. Like, yeah, my wife, oh my God, girl, I didn't even hear about my wife taking over for the presidential nominee. I didn't even hear that Biden had dropped out because I was balls deep in a soul cycle class with my gay friends in WeHo. And I didn't have my phone on me. Girl, it was a mess. Like, that's just fun to think about. He said, we were out there having coffee, messing around and talking, and people were coming up to me. So now it's like, after the announcement has gone out and my friend's partner said, you need to look at this. And I said, what? It's just imagining this as if Doug Emhoff is gay is so fun. I'm not saying he's gay. He's probably just really fucking cool and doesn't give a fuck if his friends are gay and likes to go to a soul cycle class in WeHo. What straight man doesn't? But it's just funny to think that he didn't have his phone and Kamala's just on the other end blowing his phone up like, where the fuck are you? Doug, where the fuck are you? I'm supposed to be fucking running for president now. Where the fuck are you? Are you at your goddamn soul cycle class in West Hollywood again, you beep? He goes on, of course I didn't have my phone, so I ran and ran and got into our car, and of course my phone is just on fire. These are his words. I'm starting to think he's gay. He's not gay. It's just fun to think about if he is gay. Just pretend he's gay for this. Of course I didn't have my phone, so I ran over and got into her car, and of course my phone is just on fire, and it's basically call Kamala, call Kamala, call Kamala from everyone. And of course the first thing I said, and of course the first thing she said was, where the fuck were you? I need you. I love it. I love it. Kamala, your husband takes SoulCycle in WeHo. Girl, you better make sure his Grindr account is locked down. Tell him to burn his phone. No, he's not gay. There's no fucking way. He better keep a lid on it. He's very high probability that he's going to be the first gentleman. He might be the first lady at this point. We can just call him First Lady Doug. I'm calling him First Lady Doug. Don't give the Republicans ammunition, but this is a funny story. That is very funny. Kamala's husband didn't have his phone on him for the most important moment of her life because he was taking a fucking SoulCycle class with his gay friends in WeHo. You know he was pissed he missed brunch too. Ugh, I've got to go back to my wife. I don't fucking know. Biden dropped out. Can you get me the eggs, Benedict? Just order it, and if I come back, it's mine. If not, it's yours, honey. I don't care. Hold the hollandaise. It's just fun to think about. I'm sure he's just an ally. Since then, since the announcement, Doug Emhoff said it's been a whirlwind. Girl, I'm sure it's been a whirlwind. I love it. I'm going with he's an ally because I don't want to get sued. It's just, you know, here's my thinking too. If he was really a down low gay, he wouldn't tell this story. He wouldn't. I think, you know, that's what's good about this is like, if he was really like a down low gay trying to keep, he would not be like, yeah, girl, I was at a SoulCycle class in WeHo and my phone was going off because girlfriend over there just, you know, she got the nominee and I had to go get her nails done. It sounds, you know, he's a comfortable straight guy who's got gay friends and he doesn't fucking care about exercising in West Hollywood. That's really what it is. And he's clearly so comfortable that he told the story at a organizing call and it was more fun. And this is just what I'm thinking. Cause if you were trying to not let anybody know you were gay, the first step is don't tell them you're doing SoulCycle in WeHo. You know what I mean? So to me, it sounds like he's just very comfortable in his sexuality and, It's just very fun. I just hope, please, dear God, nothing come out during Kamala's presidency. They don't have kids, do they? Do they have a kid? I don't know. I don't know too much about them. Again, I try not to know too much personal information about politicians. You know, I'll read the surface stuff, but I'm not about to buy a hat with their name on it. If you're walking around with Harris. That was a queef. Did you hear that one? That was a clapping queef. A mouth queef. You know, if you're walking around with Harris gear, it's great that you support. Another way that you can show support for politicians is to just vote for them. Did you know that? You can just vote for them. You don't have to be a marketing billboard for them. You don't have to be a walking ad space for them. You can just go vote for them. Don't get sucked into the weird politician merch. These are not cool people, and they're probably, everyone involved is going to send a drone to kill a brown child at some point. Just remember that. But I am going to be voting for Kamala because, you know, the better option. We've got lives to protect here in America, number one. And the way to do that is to vote for Kamala. La, la, la. And her queen of a husband, Dougie Boy. Okay, let's get into our sponsors here. I've mentioned them before. I love them so much. You know them. You hear about them all the time on this podcast. It's Lucy Brown Coffee, baby. This is the first podcast episode where I am no longer in Lexington, Kentucky. I can't just go down to Lucy Brown Town, and get some coffee, and that makes me a little sad. The coffee shops here are great, but they do not compare to Lucy Brown. It is truly the best coffee and the best coffee shop I have ever been to in my entire life. And I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor. I'm happy that they sponsor the podcast. I'm lucky. But they are my favorite coffee shop, hands down. And luckily, they offer coffee subscriptions, so I never have to miss out on their delicious fucking coffee. And I'm excited to get this month's bag of coffee coming soon. I believe it's shipping out soon. I'm so excited. Every month with this coffee subscription, you get to have coffee shipped directly to your door. Or if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, you can just go pick that shit up. It's great. Save the mailing label. But every month you get different coffee sent straight to your door in a preference that you prefer. If you like dark roast, if you like light roast, if you like medium roast, if you just like to be roasted, they send you coffee. Lucy Brown sends you coffee that is tailored to your taste. And it's sent straight to your door starting at just $20 a month. You know, when you go to these main stores, you're seeing the same old shit. Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks coffees, Pete's coffee. What else? Café Bustelo, which I love. But, you know, it's the same shit over and over. You don't get to try new coffee, really delicious coffee, coffee that you may have never even known about. And you never would know about if you only shopped at grocery stores. Let's be real. Maybe if you went to Whole Foods, you'd find some variety. But for the most part, it's the same shit, a different day. But with Lucy Brown's coffee subscriptions, you get different and exciting roasters sent straight to your door every month, starting at just $20 a month. All you have to do is go to their website, lucybrowncoffee.com. That's L-U-S-S-I, browncoffee.com. Follow the coffee subscription button, and you get signed up. Easy peasy. Plus, if you use the code Heather Shaw is kidding, you'll get 10% off your first order. It's a huge deal. If you're a coffee head like me, if you love coffee, if you love having new and delicious coffee, If you enjoy that, if you enjoy discovering delicious coffee, this is the way to go. Coffee subscription you will not regret getting. We love you, Lucy Brown. Check them out at lussibrowncoffee.com and sign up today. Thank you for sponsoring the show, Lucy Brown. Stay gay. Well, the Britney biopic is happening, I guess. I guess there's a Britney biopic. I really hope she's getting money for it. I think that she had to sign off on it. I think she had to green light it. I don't know. I talked about it a little online just quickly. I don't really care. Here's the thing. Here's my problem with biopics. We're not going to get the real story. It's whatever is being fed to us in this biopic is going to be polished, glossed over. It'll lightly touch on her shitty parts of her life, no fault of her own, just the shitty things that have happened to her, which, by the way, started when she was probably like 12, you know, maybe started at birth, being born to her father. Universal Pictures has landed the rights. It's just going to be almost like when they whitewash something. But just for biopics, like the Freddie Mercury one, everyone said that was a good movie. But it's like, I feel like they totally glossed over the AIDS thing. They were just like, oh, yeah. And also he got AIDS because he was gay. You know, like I just feel like a part of me thinks in that biopic, they're like, and Freddie Mercury lived happily ever after with his loving wife. Like, it just doesn't ever seem real. The Bob Marley one, I don't think they really talked about his life truly or even really gotten to his full impact. I didn't see it, though, but nothing compelled me to see it. I just felt like I was going to get a bullshit version of the story. There's very few that I'm trying to think of. Okay, Walk the Line. That one was a biopic that I felt like really captured who Johnny Cash was. It didn't gloss over the ugly parts. Now, I think there were some things that were omitted, you know, that maybe he was, you know, other than the drug use, there were other things that made him not a great guy. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. But it seemed to me like Walk the Line was very realistic and like, oh, I got the true story of like who Johnny Cash is. Like even Elvis, that bullshit Elvis movie with Austin Butler. What the fuck are we doing? That was just like, that was made for people that want to take shrooms and watch a movie, I feel like. Like, it was fine. Baz Luhrmann's just fucking weird. I don't really, you know, I don't know. I didn't really, can we just, he married a 14-year-old. And that's, nobody really, like, talks about, oh, that's kind of weird, you know. I even saw Priscilla in Me about Priscilla Presley. And that was still like, okay, honey, you're 12. Like, this is not, nothing about this is a love story. This is just a weird assault story. So I'm really worried with this Britney biopic that it's not going to be, it's just going to be, you know, the rise of Britney and how great she was. And she is great. She is one of the most prolific pop stars we've ever had. You know, when you hear Brittany, which is such a basic name, everybody has a name Brittany. You know, how many Brittanys you know in your real life? But when you hear Brittany, just that one word in the terms of music, you think of Britney Spears. If somebody goes, have you heard Britney's new song? You're not thinking of anybody else but Britney Spears. I mean, she is like the Madonna, the Gaga. But her name is so basic. It's kind of incredible. She's really cornered the Britney market. And there's so many Britneys out there. And she just took that name, which is really incredible. I just feel so bad for Britney. And I just think this biopic, what are they going to do? They're going to have a fucking Britney Spears losing her mind, shaving her head and attacking a car with an umbrella scene. I doubt it. They're going to have a, you know, Justin Timberlake knocking her up with his 1-inch dick and then her on the floor after getting an abortion bawling while he plays her, you know, plays, I don't know, Bye 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 to the fetus on guitar acoustic next to her. Like, you know, that's not going to be in there. I don't have high hopes for this. It's giving, remember the Amy Winehouse biopic that came out that I did not see? I don't think anybody saw it. I don't even think the director saw that movie. The director of Amy Winehouse biopic probably did not see a second of that film. It didn't do Amy justice. It seemed like a weird Party City costume that the actress was wearing to be Amy. I don't have high hopes. And also, we kind of are, we know what happened with Britney. You know, I guess if you're 15, 16, 17, you don't really know the full Britney Spears story unless you like go and find it out on your own. But like for the most part, anybody that's interested in a Britney biopic was living through her entire life. Like I can just tell you what happened. Like I don't understand why we need a movie that's going to lie to us about the events we already saw. You know, it's like going to see a film about 9/11 and it's all just like leaving out the really fishy parts. You know, the part where George Bush was just reading a book to a classroom of, you know, 6-year-olds while the towers were going down and doing nothing. Okay. It's glossed over. It's just like, and the bad guys got the towers. That's what it feels like with this Britney biopic. And who's going to play Britney? That's the other thing. That's a huge, huge thing. Please let it be Taryn Manning. Oh my God, please let them cast Taryn Manning. What's up? I'm Britney, bitch. It's Britney, bitch. I can't do Taryn Manning impressions anymore without blowing out my entire vocal cords. I want it to be Taryn Manning. I want her to at least make an appearance. What's up? I'm Taryn Manning reading for Crossroads. Taryn Manning just sounds like an unruly 12-year-old that I was in, you know, middle school with. Hey, what's up? I'm Taryn Manning. Anybody got the crystal? I'm playing the part of Britney Spears. Okay. Now she's just turning into JoJo Siwa. I don't know who's going to play it. I'm sure Halsey is chomping at the bit to get an audition for this role. Halsey really wants to be Britney Spears or like loves her in a weird way or just, I don't know. Nobody needs Halsey's curse of singing through this film. I don't know who really looks like Britney Spears. It's got to be somebody with like those wide set, doughy eyes. Maybe Timothy Chalamet will just play Britney Spears. I mean, he's getting all the roles anyways. He's Bob Dylan. He's Willy Wonka. Now he'll be Britney Spears. Next year he'll be, you know, Donald Trump. Sorry for the mouth farts. It's just Taryn Manning is, once I do a Taryn Manning impression, my body just wants to expel everything inside of it. What if they just get Lizzo? What if Lizzo plays Britney Spears? I'd watch that movie. I would really watch the Britney Spears biopic if it was Lizzo playing the lead titular role of Britney Spears. Please let that happen. That's the only way this movie will be funny. It's just plus size Lizzo dancing with a snake, being like, Justin, baby, come back. I love you. Y'all are crazy. Trying to get her southern accent just comes out as Lizzo. Who's going to play all the parts? Justin Timberlake should play himself in this film. I mean, he's got nothing else going on. He can't drive. They suspended Justin Timberlake's license. It's like, yeah, he should not be driving anyways. He's filthy rich. And, you know, I wonder if this goes, does taking away his license mean golf carts too? Because then he's really fucked because that man loves to golf. He is golfing on Trump levels. He's got kids at home and he said, I don't give a fuck. Watch this par. Watch me make this par. I don't even know golf terms. I just know par and handicap. Justin Timberlake got his license suspended. He couldn't complete the field sobriety test, which is funny because he's done choreography his entire life. And he just couldn't nail walking in a line. It's like, honey, you've been doing 5, 6, 7, 8 since you were 15 years old. Girl, get it together. Who cares if you had some little Patroni in your system? Get it together. I know you were performing drunk before. You take a shot of tequila on stage, honey. Just perform 5, 6, 7, 8 and walk. And walk. And don't look at the cop. And walk. Okay. Justin Timberlake will be fine. But I wish he would play himself in this film. Who should play Kevin Federline? I don't know. Because it's got to be skinny Kevin Federline. Either way, it's got to be somebody who has the ability to be white trash. So maybe like MGK. Machine Gun Kelly could play Federline. Maybe like Haley Joel Osment. Just get him in there. He's short, though. They can put him on stilts. They can pull a Tom Cruise. Put him on some platforms. You ever see those photo shoots of Tom Cruise with his co-stars in movies in the 90s? Where it's like they're all the same height, but you zoom out and Tom is just standing on 3 apple crates. He's just standing on 3 fruit crates to reach the height of, like, you know, Brad Pitt. Those are fun pictures. Go look at those. I don't know who's going to play Kevin Federline. It's got to be somebody white trashy. I think it'd be funny if Justin Timberlake just played Kevin Federline. I mean, this movie's a shit show already. I don't think it's going to be good. The director is a gay man or gay adjacent. Wicked director, John Chu. Yeah, it's going to be gay. It's going to be a love story to Britney Spears. I hope it comes out well. I hope, if anything, it does come out as like a nod to Britney. Maybe we don't have to get into the nitty gritty. It's not about it being truthful and realistic, as maybe it's just more about being an ode to a great pop star who deserved more. Maybe if you look at it that way, then, you know, I'm sure they'll do some conservatorship shit, but nothing super crazy. They're not going to do this era of Britney. There's not going to be any, you know, Britney dancing in her underwear with knives. It's probably going to end. I don't know. The movie will probably end on her getting the conservatorship and kind of being in her house. And then it'll just have, you know, words on the screen being like, in 2021, Britney Spears was released from her conservatorship. She is now free and happier than ever. She definitely sees her kids and is not holed up in a mansion alone with just 2 of her gay guy friends in Malibu. They don't do anything all day. She doesn't see anyone. She doesn't leave. She's very happy. Britney Spears lived happily ever after. Yeah, you know, I will be very surprised if they get into the real shit. But, you know, I hope all the fucking money goes to Britney. I mean, she doesn't have a conservatorship now. So who's got her finances, bitch? Who has got her finances? I mean, just because a conservatorship ended doesn't mean like she got her passwords back to her bank account. Could she even access her bank account herself? No. By her own? On her own? By herself? What am I saying? Little stroke. All right, Kalani is in a cult. This is something I care very little about, but I'm going to go over it a little because it's just a goofy story. Apparently, Kalani's baby daddy, Javi, and I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong. Again, I'm not a fan of these people. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing Kalani right. Kalani pronunciation. Let's see, so that I'm not a moron. What's this?
Yeah.
Kalani. Okay, Kalani. Did I just YouTube that? I don't know, maybe. Kalani welcomed a daughter 5 years ago with her then partner guitarist Javi Young White. Javi, I believe. Anyways, he says she's in a cult. She had a home birth that he said was orchestrated by what I would describe as a cult. I mean, she just gave a home birth. So that to me is not very compelling, but he says in his petition, her baby daddy says he believes that Kalani has been involved in this cult for the past few years and that the group controls the singer's behavior, including when it comes to the upbringing of our daughter. He didn't identify the group, though his papers were filed in Los Angeles, and he described a cult leader who goes only by Neto, N-E-T-O, and has numerous accusations of committing sexual assault against women and girls. According to Young White, the baby daddy, that's such a funny last name. It's Young hyphen White. What's up? I'm a Young White. Okay, girl. According to Young White, Nito banned him from seeing his daughter after receiving a vision that I was a danger to our daughter and would kill her. Okay, so this is sounding a little creepy. In 2023, Young White, what up, Young White? He needs to just make that his rap name. I know he's not a rapper, but he might as well be with that name. I'm Young White. I'm 75 years old and black. Okay. He claims he found out Nito was performing religious ceremonies on his daughter that involve his being in a room alone with her. Ew. Bro, if that was my daughter, I would murder everyone in sight. You're not going to sit alone. I don't even like kids. And I can imagine having a daughter and not allowing this. Young White says he was physically restrained and threatened by members of the cult when he attempted to retrieve his daughter. Fuck, man. That's dark. Now, let's all take this with a grain of salt because people fighting over custody of a kid, they do weird shit, okay? So we're not just going to believe this guy's words 100% because you don't just believe all men. You don't believe all anybody. How about that? Nobody, let's not generalize everybody. But, you know, people get contentious and weird. So I'm not trying to say that this is all Bible and true, but, you know, this is what he's saying. Kehlani spoke to Bust about exploring new religions in 2022 and discovering Santeria, and have since put out 2 full studio albums and continue to make public appearances. On Saturday, concern rippled through Kehlani's fan base. I guess Kehlani's not non-binary because I keep referring to Kehlani as they. Okay, so I think Kehlani's non-binary. I didn't know that, and I was calling her she. Sorry. But also, if this is true and you're in a cult, I don't care. Okay. On Saturday, concern rippled through their fan base when they appeared on Chris Brown's Instagram stories with the caption, twin, heart emoji. The idea of these two hanging out prompted accusations of hypocrisy. Brown had once derided Kehlani's 2016 suicide attempt as, quote, flexing for the gram. God, what a piece of shit he is. Imagine somebody's like, I just attempted to kill myself. And he's like, stop flexing for Instagram, bitch. You're such a show off. You know, like what? Derided her their suicide attempt and then said they were doing shit for sympathy. So the comments under the pics didn't look so bad. God, everybody who is famous is such a piece of shit. I don't even care about these people. I don't even care. I don't know if Kehlani really attempted suicide. Chris Brown's clearly a piece of shit. If Kehlani, even if they didn't really truly attempt suicide, to be like, you're just blip bragging. Stop bragging about trying to kill yourself. You're flexing for the gram, little bit. Like, all these people are so gross. I can't. I hate famous people. They're so dumb. The cut. There's no update. That's literally it. That's literally all. I mean, I've seen so many TikToks about Kehlani in a cult, and I just am not compelled. I don't give a fuck. Again, I go back to, if you're joining a cult in any year that follows 2020, 2021, 2022, like, you're an idiot. Like, you are so dumb. This isn't 1960 where it's like, I didn't know. I had no idea. Nothing was provided to me about cults ever. I didn't know the signs. Like, there's no information on cult. You're in 2022 or whenever you join this fucking cult, Kehlani, allegedly. Not saying that they're in it, but this is what the Cut article is saying. If you're really joining a cult in 2022, I don't care. Like, get it together. I'm sorry. That is just so crazy to me. And also, like, I don't know if I can name a Kehlani song. Kehlani sounds like, again, a shot I would order at the bar. And then they'd say, ma'am, why do you want rum? Aren't you supposed to be sober? Kehlani songs. Let's see what song she has. I'm sure I've heard of her songs. Can I tell you that we used to be mutuals on TikTok? I didn't know who this person was, but they had a blue check mark, Kehlani, and... Or like I saw that they had followed me. So then I showed my fiance and she was like, oh my God, Kehlani. And so I followed them back and we were mutuals for a while. And then I think they unfollowed me. And to say I was devastated by it is an understatement. I couldn't sleep for days. I didn't know who they were. Let's see. Like, what's a song I would know? Is there any song I would know? How did Kalani get famous? They were in Pop Life, I guess. Was a finalist on America's Got Talent. What's her hit? Like, what's their hit song? Kalani hit song. It's just like anytime Chris Brown hits her. Okay. Best songs. Let's just go to Spotify. This is so fucking annoying. Can I play her music? Their music? Or am I going to get like copyright stricken down? There's the artist, Kalani. Somebody's, After Hours is their most streamed or almost Gangsta. I don't know any of the songs. I feel so old. Nights Like This. That sounds familiar. That has the most streams. I don't know if I can play this, but you can't hear it. I don't know them. I just literally listened to a clip of it and I don't know. Mm-mm. R&B, I guess. R&B, pop. I thought they were gay. Is Kalani gay? Am I thinking of somebody else? I might. Oh, no. Yeah, they came out as gay. Okay. So this person, we used to be mutuals on TikTok. I followed them back because my fiance was freaking out, but I don't know. I still don't know who they are. And also, if they're going to call, good luck. I don't know. Treat your daughter well. The last thing I wanted to talk about before this episode wraps up is Zac Efron. This is a longer episode. I love it. Zac Efron keeps getting face work done. You can't convince me otherwise. And then blaming it on accidents. Either Zac Efron has gotten face work done in Ibiza. And then is like, I almost drowned in a pool. Whoops. And he just keeps getting face work. Zac Efron is gone. He is no more. It's like saying goodbye to Amanda Bynes. Unfortunately. Zac Efron is not in the mental state that Amanda Bynes is in, but like every time I see Amanda Bynes, I get very fucking sad. She's got that heart tattoo. Her hair looks insane. She was, never taken care of properly. And it's showing now. But Zac Efron is going the other way where it's like, no, I'm still a working comic, but he is chopping his face up. He will be unrecognizable. If not already, he will be unrecognizable to anyone who knew him as a teen star, teen heartthrob. Within 5 years. He is aging himself with this face work. He keeps blaming it on remember when he first said he had a jaw injury and that's why he has all this filler? Guys, I got into a car accident. That's why my face looks like a pillow. I look like a walking my pillow. The movie he made with Nicole Kidman, where they both are just having a face off of who has the most face work. Zac Efron wins, by the way. Nicole Kidman's face is frozen, like she was, trapped on the Titanic as it was sinking. But Zac looks so crazy. And this is why men don't get face work. It may not look as crazy if more men got face work, but so few men get such audacious face work that Zac Efron looks absolutely unhinged right now. He looks like he's got a jaw implant, fillers, lip fillers, Botox. He's nipping, he's tucking, he's doing it all. I've always thought, and I stick by this, and I don't care what anybody says, I've always been of the belief that allegedly, I think that Zac Efron is gay. I think he is always been gay. If you see pictures of him when he was at High School Musical, if that doesn't scream gay to you, then your gaydar is simply broken. I'm not trying to out him. I just think that he is, maybe this is why he's had issues with addiction and I don't really care, whatever, but that's just my belief. I think he's a little down low and I think he'd be much happier if he just came out and got together with Shawn Mendes. Apparently he was hospitalized in Spain following an incident in a swimming pool. Celebrities, stay out of swimming pools. You all drown when you get into bodies of water. You, Aaron Carter, get out. Whitney Houston, get out of there. Matthew Perry, talk about a hot tub time machine. You could use one. Okay. He had an incident in a swimming pool in Spain, allegedly, apparently. What happened? I don't even know. Are they going to say anything? Okay, Zach's camp says, Zach's team, his entire team, his publicists got together and they said, we got to tell the world this story. Allegedly, he dove into a swimming pool. He hit the bottom with his chest and ingested a large amount of water. He showed signs of distress, was momentarily dazed, and then Ibiza security pulled him out of the water. He was taken to the hospital as a precautionary measure, but he was back working out the next day. You know he went to that hospital and got face work. He was taken to that hospital to get surgery on his face. And they said, tell him I almost drowned. I got to go get filler. Tell him I almost drowned. I don't believe him. I just don't believe that this guy just keeps having crazy accidents. It's either that he's getting face work and blaming it on crazy accidents, or he's dealing with addiction. And he almost drowned in a pool, like every other fucking celebrity. I don't know. Do I care? Not really. But this man's face is giving me the heebie-jeebies. He was seen coming home. He was seen at the tarmac in Miami, completely covered. Okay, so this man almost drowns in a pool, and then he arrives on home in Miami with walking with a guy that looks a little gay. I gotta say, he seems very gay, and that's fine, Zachy boy. That is fine. Maybe this is the episode of straight men just hanging out with gays. Doug. The second gentleman, Doug, going to WeHo SoulCycle, and Zach going to Spain with his gay best friend who you know, keeps his clothes on at all times. But in the picture, if you want to Google it, just Google Zach coming home from Spain, Miami airport, whatever. Full on hoodie, hat on, hoodie over the hat, full on mate. You literally can see a little sliver of his forehead, but that's it. You can't see any of his face. You know why? Because the man had face work. He had some face work done. He just can't stay away. I don't know. I don't know the real story. I don't really care. Zac Efron is harmless. He's a great actor. I loved him in The Iron Claw. He looked like a fucking freak in that movie. I just wish that he would, if he is gay, allegedly, I would love for him to come out and be happy and live in his light. And maybe date Bradley Cooper. Okay, that is it for the episode. I hope you enjoyed this. Sorry again that it was audio only, but we had a wild time, huh? If you like this, don't forget to rate the podcast, please. Get me up on these charts. Spread the word. Spread your legs, spread the word like a turd. I don't know. Isn't that an old Bloodhound Gang lyric? I'm not sure. Rate the show, review the show. It would mean the world to me if you could. I don't care if you leave this was fine review. Just put this was fine. Just review it. Get me up on those charts. You know, I want to be right up next to call her daddy. What's it called? The female Joe Rogan podcast, Call Her Daddy. Yeah, that one. I'll get up there. I'm sure celebrities would love to be interviewed by me. I'm sure the celebrities love me. Zach, what happened to your fucking face? Did you have another accident in a pool in Ibiza? Join the Patreon if you want to support my comedy, if you want to support the podcast, if you'd like to get an extra episode of this podcast every single week. It comes out on Sundays. The bonus episode comes out every Sunday on the Patreon. Join the Patreon at patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. You can choose the price. It's from $3, $5, $10, or $20 a month, whatever you want to pledge for a month. Per month, you get the same access to everything, which is simply just basically a group chat and the extra episode. I don't do any like crazy bonus content over there. I just give you an extra episode of this podcast and a chat that you can talk to people in. Upcoming shows, all tickets are at heathershawcomedy.com. Again, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona all weekend, next weekend, August 15th. To the 17th. I'm doing one show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday at the House of Comedy in Phoenix. Come in from the heat. Laugh your ass off. Queef with me. It'll be a fun weekend. And I'm there with Tony Tripoli. Again, he was the head writer of Joan Rivers Fashion Police, a close friend of Joan Rivers. He is very fucking funny. You are in for a treat if you come out and see that show. Other upcoming shows this month, I'm in Stamford, Connecticut on the 21st and Long Island, New York on the 22nd. And then I've got a bunch of other shows coming up in September, October. We're booking out for November now. but we'll be in Sacramento, San Fran, Bakersfield, San Jose, Brea, Providence, Rhode Island, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Beverly, Massachusetts, Foxborough, Massachusetts, Dallas, Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Bentonville, Arkansas for the Big Diamond Comedy Festival, Kansas City. Tickets aren't up on sale yet, but that has been confirmed as a show. Kansas City, Salt Lake City, and Las Vegas. Again, all tickets are at heathershawcomedy.com. I hope to see you out there on the road. I love doing live shows. I love saying hi to everyone. Until next time, stay gay. See ya.